This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:09 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We're moving on to our story this hour, which is, the Malaysian Youth Council wants to form a group of 10 youth advisors for the Prime Minister. It is worth acknowledging that this is coming against the backdrop of concerns that there isn't enough political will to instate Undi 18. So there is this push and pull, I guess, between wanting to have youth participation in politics, but not at the moment permitting the youth of a certain age to vote. So we want to look at what this advocacy can achieve and whether it is a sign, in fact, that the current government is interested and invested in youth issues.
So just to give you an idea of what they have in mind, the Malaysian Youth Council, as you said, wants to form a group of 10 young people as youth advisors to the PM. They will be age 35 and below, and to qualify, they need to be a Malaysian. They need to have a degree, and this requirement was changed. The age requirement was changed initially from being from 15 to 35 because they need them to have a degree, which means that they have to be above a certain age. They also need to be free from bankruptcy status and not have prior criminal convictions. In terms of how they will be selected, they are required to have an excellent level of achievement in fields like the economy, STEM, health, education, or any other field that is viewed as necessary for this role. They are expected to have leadership qualities, a good personality, as well as be able to provide ideas on policy development at the highest levels, they say.
So in terms of what this entails, right? So say you get through it, you are selected to do this. What it entails at the moment, at least, is exposure. So you'll be given exposure, you'll be given additional training in day-to-day policymaking and governance processes. And it's not a full-time position. There will, however, be periodic meetings and assignments set by the Secretariat, which in turn is led by MBM or the Malaysian Youth Council. So I think aside from the issue that was addressed, which was that of age, right? Where initially 15, but holding a degree, some criticism came that way. I think the other one is, while the criteria is there, I think the question is whether or not this ends up leaving out many other capable young people who could also contribute. And prior to the age amendments, candidates could actually qualify as an advisor, but not a voter, as we mentioned. So I think there's this question of what exactly what change, right, you're hoping to evoke, and the different levels that exist for young people to engage in democracy. I think, on the one hand, having an expertise of sorts is useful, but I don't know if that actually connects you to on-the-ground issues that you would hope a council like this would actually address.
Yes, and some of the criteria, honestly, you can't quite, why should a degree be a requirement, for instance? This is a question that many people have brought up. It sort of feels like you're gatekeeping in a certain way that doesn't necessarily help the cause. And then the fields that are outlined, sure, it feels like economy and STEM and health and education are important, but they are not the be-all and end-all of what qualifies someone to be a good leader or a capable advisor. So questions in terms of what exactly you're prioritizing, in terms of what exactly these youth advisors will be doing anyway.
So I wonder about a sense of sameness. I think that's my concern, because ultimately, if you have a group of 10 young people and there isn't diversity, and I'm not talking about the diversity that you're going to see in a photo, because I'm sure that that's also going to come into play, right? You want to have a certain measure of the faces and the mix representing Malaysia, representing gender. I understand all that. However, beyond that, right, when it comes to life experience, when it comes to where in Malaysia you're from, how you were raised, the stuff that you've gone through, your life experience fundamentally, I think that not to negate the fact that, you know, I'm not saying everyone who has a degree is the same. I am, however, saying that maybe having people who are taking different paths to success or trying different things will be of value. So what exactly this advisory group is supposed to achieve, and I think what the government is hoping to get out of it, I would like to see something that this feels like an SPM thing, you know, like we're still prioritizing people who have passed exams. Like, we're still only able to understand success and capability in one very narrow window.
Honestly, much like the inability to see why Undi 18 could be great and why it would be so important, this feels to me like an older person making decisions about young people. I think if you actually spoke to young people, they might be able to give you insight into why a degree is not the be-all and end-all of what makes someone a good leader.
So let us know. Again, the Malaysian Youth Council is looking to form a group of 10 young people aged 35 and below to act as youth advisors to the Prime Minister. If you're keen, you have to be a Malaysian, have a degree and be below 35. You also have to have never declared bankruptcy and also never been convicted of a... never had a prior criminal conviction. So what do you make of this? Do you see this as a step forward in terms of the government engaging in youth issues? Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We are going to be speaking after this with Dharma Pillay, who is the co-founder of Undi 18. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
It is 7:16 and you are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We are talking today about the Malaysian Youth Council looking to form a group of 10 young people to act as youth advisors to the Prime Minister. It's an interesting proposition. It has, however, also come under some criticism for the criteria for selection. And I think essentially for the vagueness of it all, right? Because we don't exactly know what form this will take in its final incarnation. So we want to know, what are your thoughts on this? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we are crossing over to Dharma Pillay, who's the co-founder of Undi 18 and is joining us over Zoom. Dharma, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Hi everyone, thank you very much for having me.
So what do you think of this move to have these 10 youth advisors?
For me, I think it's good. I definitely think it's an opportunity to give young Malaysians a chance to provide direct input and to enable them to give more of an opinion in the current administration. And I think having these representatives are useful perhaps to source fresh ideas and also to serve as an alternative avenue for the average person to share their suggestions and grouses and to be channeled to the government. So I think overall it's a pretty interesting and good idea.
So how have we seen this play out in other countries?
This is quite similar to the presidential expert staff in Indonesia. So what happened is that President Jokowi appointed a number of advisors comprising of young industry leaders, academics and experts. And so I think that's perhaps a similar idea that we're trying to replicate here, perhaps getting these young technocrats or these young leaders to help to advise the government. So over there, I think that this willingness to embrace young leaders has been seen positively. Indonesia has been viewed as ready and willing to embrace innovation and business. And it's partly due to their approach of elevating highly qualified youth, such as Nadiem Makarim. So if the Malaysian government wants to replicate that, that's a good thing, right? So conceptually, it's a good thing. But I think, as you rightly pointed out, we don't know much details yet. And often the devil is in the details.
So what do you make of the requirements to apply? Not just about the age, but also things like the proven track record in the fields that they set out, the degree that they're asking for. What do you make of it? And do you think that these achievements are important or necessary to be able to bring something to the table?
I think for me, I do think it's something that's quite important. I'm looking at the application. I'm sort of guessing what they want over here. They probably want to create this bunch of technocrat or industry experts giving input into the government. So if you look at it from that context, I think it makes a lot of sense. It's very sensible. And if you refer to that Indonesian Presidential Council again, their youth advisors are all experts in various backgrounds, including, I give an example, Gracia Billy Mambrasa, who came from a poor family background and then succeeded in social entrepreneurship. So if they were to advise the government on high-level policies, they have to at least have strong experiences in the field that they would be advising on. And I do need to point this out, by the way. I think it is important to have these things, but this is what the Dewan Negara should have been able to do. We should have been able to implement and bring in technocrats, young technocrats, and appoint them as our senators to provide this kind of input to the government. So for me, I think we should be doing this on a parliamentary level, but I hope at the very least, this program will set a positive precedent.
Why is it important that this council be diverse? And, you know, what sort of diversity would you be looking for or expecting?
For me, I think I think a few things. One, definitely diversity in terms of race and geographic, composition. I think whether you're from different communities, such as the Orang Asal or Orang Asli communities, you may have very unique perspectives that should be represented and should be heard in policymaking. I also do think that since there's only 10 of these individuals, having these different types of fields is important. You may want someone from the business sector, from the healthcare sector, from education, from democratic or policymaking. So there are different types of perspectives that are important to listen to. So I think these two things are important, diversity in terms of the demographic and also the diversity in terms of expertise or background.
So considering we're at the early stages, right, and as we keep saying, we don't really know what shape it's going to take, which means that in theory, we can hope for the best. So what kind of system or schedule do you think would have to be there to ensure that both sides gain real knowledge and experience from this? Or in other words, there's real impact?
Okay, so I think this is a bit challenging to answer because we can only guess and sort of like grasp in the air. So I was previously part of the National Youth Consultative Council. And I think the interesting thing that I saw over there was that when the youth representatives provided an idea or feedback, there was civil service representatives from each ministry providing immediate feedback to those ideas and recommendations. So I think having that sort of process may be something that's good to ensure that that there is direct sort of like knowledge and access to what the different ministries are doing. But I do think that more important than that is to ensure that this panel of advisors is not for show, right? Because we've had way too many programs over the years, not just with this administration, over many administrations where they are supposed to provide input to the government, but the input really goes nowhere. So I really hope, especially when it comes to this pandemic, and it's quite a critical time, that the government has genuine political will to sort of implement these ideas. And I think lastly, from the perspective of the advisors that are chosen themselves, they must be willing to meet stakeholders and listen to suggestions. Because it's not just about talking, it's also about listening too. And here's the reality, right? These 10 advisors will probably be relatively privileged, right? And they might be from a relatively wealthy background, which means that they may not be able to empathize entirely with certain problems that the average citizen is having. So they must be willing to listen, to talk, to discuss, and therefore provide better policies based on that.
So on that note about not being able to empathize or a certain sense of privilege, we do have a WhatsApp here from Maggie who says, in relation to, I think, the requirement for a degree, she says, this is discrimination, academic discrimination. Do you have any thoughts on that, Dharma?
I do think definitely there are a lot of incredibly talented people who don't have degrees, who choose to drop out and go forward. So I do think that by right, they should not be using a degree as the full measure. But I sort of understand sometimes because with government procedures, when civil servants are screening, they often look for this. So I sort of understand that there are nuances that need to be reflected, especially for someone like me. Even when I hire, I don't look at your degree. I look at the quality of the person, the quality of their background. So personally, I think there shouldn't need to be a degree requirement. But at the same time, I understand the bureaucracy that may be involved in this. So I definitely sort of halfway agree, but I sort of understand why the government is doing it.
We also have a tweet from Uni who says, this sounds like an excuse to use up budgets with the appearance of activity. I hope I'm wrong. If the 10 selected aren't made public along with their affiliations, then that would be a huge red flag. Would you agree with that?
I agree. So which is why I think it's important for us to judge at the end of the day, right? Who are these people that are there? And I think it's also important for us to be part of the process, right? To try to apply if you're qualified, maybe to try to apply and see if you might be the right fit. and also try to contribute, right? Because who knows, there might be something good that comes out from it, right? So don't just let those who are already in the system to already apply and just sort of like be in that echo chamber, right? Try to bring in, and I think that's one of the reasons why they've opened this up to the public, right? So that different types of people can try to apply and see if they can be one of the advisors.
So one thing many people have pointed out is the fact that 18-year-olds still can't vote. So this idea of having youth advisors might be somewhat ironic. Do you have thoughts on that?
Okay, I'll be honest with you, right? I'm not the kind of person that would criticize a good initiative. So I think conceptually, I like this initiative. But fundamentally, is this. My stance is that young Malaysians make up more than half of this country's population, and that should be reflected in our democracy, in our decision-making process, and in our leadership. So we do need more young Malaysians as advisors appointed in the Senate. And of course, we do need young Malaysians to finally obtain the right to vote, because we need better policies in housing, in jobs, in a lot of things, right? So I do think that this thing is a good start, but it has to come as part of a comprehensive package, which includes implementing the right to vote for millions of young Malaysians out there.
So overall, as someone who's been working in this for a while now, how receptive would you say the government is to youth voices overall, especially this current government?
I think so far, I think they've struggled, I think, in a way. Because, for example, I think a lot of the appointees in various key positions have been people who are significantly older, right? If you look at the vast majority of appointees to very important positions, for example, their Senate appointments, appointments to key agency heads, it has been people who have been 50, 60 years old and above. So I do think that is necessarily a problem in terms of having that representation and that dynamic. I do think that this government has done well, especially KPS, in terms of engaging the Malaysian Youth Council and done some programs with them. So I think I applaud them for that. But I do think overall, there definitely needs to be more effort to include young Malaysians into the decision-making process, to listen to them, right, to appoint them into the right positions, right? I just hope that this program is not the be-all and end-all, right? It's sort of like, that's it, we're good, our quota is done. No, it has to be just a start, right? We need more.
Dharma, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Awesome, thank you very much.
That was Dharma Pillay, co-founder of Undi 18, weighing in on the 10 young people that will act as youth advisors to the Prime Minister. We've spoken about the qualifications that are required. We've spoken about the criteria for selection. I think next up, what we wait to see is how exactly this will be enacted and who's going to get chosen. So we want to know what you think. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.